So we're going to be in Matthew 21. It's titled Messiah in the City. Messiah in the City, brothers. And Messiah, of course, means, you know, anointed, okay? And usually that's a king, okay? It could really well be called King in the City, okay? King in the City. Pero estamos hoy, hermanos, vamos a estar hoy en Mateo 21. Vamos a ver hoy, entonces el título de hoy es El Mesías en la Ciudad, hermanos. El Mesías en la Ciudad. Y eso es lo que va a entrar, lo que entró ese día, hermanos, un rey, ungido. So, you're going to hear the word Hosanna in this passage, okay? And we're going to sing Hosanna too. Vamos a oír y ver la palabra Hosanna aquí en este pasaje. And that's the word, Lord, the word that the people were yelling as Jesus was coming down, mounted on the foal of a donkey. Okay, they were yelling Hosanna. Okay, and if you're not Jew, you got to know what it means. Okay, ese día estaban la gente gritando y alabando con la palabra Hosanna. Es lo que la gente estaba gritando, ¿verdad? Pero tenemos que entender el significado. It means save now. I beseech you, O Lord. That's what it means. Save now. They were saying, save us now. They were receiving him as a hero, as a savior, as the people of Israel. Entonces la palabra Hosanna quiere decir, sálvanos, te pedimos, oh Señor. Sálvanos, te pedimos, oh Señor. Es lo que quiere decir Hosanna. Y lo estaban recibiendo como un héroe que venía a salvar al pueblo, y haciéndose rey. So he had to become a king. Yeah, they were going to have to make him king in order to really fulfill that saving act that they were waiting for. But they weren't expecting to be saved from their sins. They wanted to be saved from the Romans who were ruling over them. Okay, so they were all yelling Hosanna. Huh? Y ellos esperaban que los salven no de sus pecados como lo venía a hacerlo, pero de los romanos que estaban sobre ellos en ese tiempo. So one of the things that we're going to be looking at as we go through Matthew 21 is that we're going to be looking for we're going to see that God is looking for a people prepared for the coming of his son. He's going to be looking for a people that are prepared to receive Jesus, okay? Into their city, into their life. Vamos a estar, va a ver el tema que Dios está buscando un pueblo que está preparado para recibir a su hijo, hermanos. Entonces, es lo que vamos a tratar de hallar en este pasaje. So, point number one, if you had a bulletin, brothers, the notes are in there, and you can fill those out as you go and take notes. Tenemos las notas en sus boletines si quieren seguir y llenar las notas. But we see here that the Messiah had arrived and Jesus made it very obvious, brothers, when he came that day. Vamos a ver, hermanos, que en el versículo 4 y el 5 que Jesús llegó a la ciudad, hermanos, y lo hizo muy claro quién era él. Lo hizo muy claro quién era él. So, let's look at verse 4 and 5. It says, this took place. What took place? That he was coming mounted on the foal of a donkey. Okay. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. And it says, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you. Your king. Now, they didn't have a king for over 400 years. Okay. A Jewish king. But here's the prophecy. Behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. Okay, that was in the prophecy of Zechariah. We're going to look at it in a minute. Dice aquí en Mateo 21, esto sucedió. ¿Qué sucedió? Venía montado sobre un asno. Y para que, dice aquí, se cumpliera lo dicho por medio del profeta cuando dijo, decid a la hija de Sion. ¿Qué es la hija de Sion? Los judíos. La ciudad, ¿verdad? De Jerusalén, la hija de Sion. Mira, tu rey viene a ti, humilde y montado en un asno, en un asna, y en un pollino, hijo de bestia de carga. Que el rey va a venir montado sobre un asno y manso. No como conquistador, pero manso. It's interesting that what this prophecy says, he wasn't coming as a conqueror, he was coming gentle. Not on a war horse, okay? A white war horse, you know?
No, but on a foal of a donkey. He was coming humble, yeah? The king. But it was going to be the first time he comes to Jerusalem. The second time he's coming, boy, blazing fire in the sky, okay? On a horse, on a white horse, according to Revelation. Entonces, interesante que la primera vez que él viene como rey a la ciudad, hay dos diferentes venidas que va a tener. La primera va a ser manso, la segunda vez va a ser sobre un caballo, ¿eh? Y va a venir en el aire con todos los ángeles, hermanos, junto con él. Y eso está en Apocalipsis, capítulo 19. Pero tenemos que todas las escrituras tienen que ser cumplidas. Y la primera vez es manso. So we got to fulfill all the scriptures, brothers. Not just, he can't do them all at the same time. So he had to do this one according to God's will and come gentle, offering salvation to those who would believe in him. So, first of all, it was noted by Matthew that Jesus came as the prophet in Zechariah 9:9 had said. So, just so you know where it is in the Old Testament. Y para que sepan dónde está la profecía, está, como dice Mateo, en Zacarías 9, versículo 9. Yeah? Como iba a venir el rey la primera vez. And so it's our responsibility, brothers, to recognize Jesus the first time and the second time. When Jesus shows up, you gotta recognize the Lord. You gotta recognize the, and here as he's coming down the mountain, okay, down this main path from Bethany down, on the Mount of Olives down to Jerusalem. Those that are waiting for him know who he is, and they're shouting it out. Okay, we're gonna see that in a minute. Una de las cosas que miramos aquí es que tenemos que tener la responsabilidad de reconocer a Jesús, a reconocer el Rey, el Salvador, cuando Él viene, cuando Él se está acercando, tenemos que nosotros poder reconocerlo. El pueblo estaba reconociendo a Jesús. Era un desfile que se estaba haciendo alrededor de Él. It's interesting that Thomas, okay, didn't want to recognize that Jesus had been risen from the dead. Okay, if you remember that story, they told him, no, Jesus came, he appeared to us, and we saw him, we touched him, we ate with him. He said, I don't believe you guys. I saw him die, I saw him get crucified, I saw him buried. I didn't see him, I don't believe him. And sometimes we're more like Thomas. Unless I see it, I won't believe it. But even so, we're responsible. If God tells us that it happened, then we got to believe it. Yeah? Es interesante que el apóstol Tomás, fíjate, no quiso reconocer que Jesús había venido al aposento donde estaban sentados los discípulos. Él no estaba ahí, pero él se les apareció y lo tentaron, celebraron con él, comieron con él. Pero después de que se fue, vino Tomás y no quería creerles que había venido. And so Jesus came the second time, a week later, and just for Thomas, and said, here I am, Thomas, touch me. Put your finger here like you said, unless you put your finger, here's the hole. Here's a scar, right here on my side too. Yeah. And what did he say? My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. Y cuando apareció Jesús 7 días después, solo para que Tomás lo vea, le dijo, Tomás, aquí estoy. Ahora sí, tienta mis manos, mi cicatriz, aquí en el lado también. Y no seas incrédulo, pero cree. ¿Y qué fue de lo que dijo Tomás? Mi Dios y mi Señor. Y lo adoró. So brothers, we're responsible to receive the Lord by faith until he shows up. Hasta que no venga y aparezca físicamente, estamos responsables de creer y recibir a Jesús por fe, hermanos, por fe. Point B. In this passage also, we see that Jesus made it obvious for us to recognize him as more than a king. Okay? Y Jesús nos ha dejado claro que lo reconozcamos como más que solo un rey. ¿Y qué fue? Vino señalando en la manera que él venía montado, como el profeta dijo. And so he came, brothers, mounted on the foal of a donkey, just as to fulfill the prophecy that he was not just a king coming in, but he was the king, the Messiah. Eh? So there's no doubt as to who he was. No había duda de quién era él. And the principle, brothers, that we find here is that disciples took the lead
and praising the name of the king. Okay? That's how they were showing that they were prepared to receive the Son of God. They were taking the lead in praising the name of the king. ¿Ah?
Y el principio que se mira aquí, hermanos, letra C, es cuando Jesús vino a la ciudad. Dice aquí que los discípulos tomaron la iniciativa en alabar el nombre del Rey Jesús. ¿Yeah? Tomaron ellos la iniciativa.
They are the ones that started cutting down those palm branches because they knew that symbol. We're celebrating a hero. That's what those palm branches mean. Hey guys, start cutting them down. Pass them out. Start passing them around, okay? Tell others to cut more down, okay? Because this is a hero that's coming, okay? This is the Savior. And they started doing it. They took the initiative. Entonces, los discípulos, ellos mismos les estaban, empezaron a cortar las palmas, las hojas de las palmas, y empezaron a repartirlas, y decirles a otros, oye, empieza a cortar, tú también repártelas, porque vamos a recibir un héroe, un salvador que va a entrar a la ciudad.
And as he was coming, brothers, let's see what happened here. Verses 8 through 11, del versículo 8 al 11.
It says, most of the crowd spread the coats in the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them on the road, and the crowds going ahead of him. Okay? And those who followed. So Jesus had a whole bunch of people in front of him, a whole bunch of people in the back, and they were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. That's another term for the Messiah. He had to be the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, who is this? Huh? Who is this, man? And the crowds were saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. Disciples got to take the initiative.
Dice, y la mayoría de la multitud tendió los mantos, sus mantos en el camino. Otros cortaban ramos de los árboles y las tendían por el camino, y las multitudes iban delante de él, y las que iban detrás también, dice, gritaban diciendo, Hosanna al Hijo de David, bendito el que viene en el nombre del Señor, Hosanna en las alturas. Cuando él entró a Jerusalén, toda la ciudad se agitó y decían, ¿quién es este? ¿Quién es este pues? Y las multitudes contestaban, este es el profeta Jesús de Nazaret de Galilea.
So brothers, part of being prepared to receive the Son of God is to be ready and take the initiative to praise, yeah, the name and the fame of Jesus Christ. Okay? Because people are going to say, who is this? You and I got to be ready. This is Jesus. What do you guys gather at church for? We gather to celebrate and worship Jesus. And that worship reaches the Father. As we honor the Son, we honor the Father. So, it's our responsibility, brothers, to be ready to proclaim, to praise the name and the fame of Jesus Christ.
Tenemos que estar listos, hermanos, nosotros, tomar la iniciativa de alabar el nombre y la fama de Jesús. El nombre y la fama en la iglesia y afuera de la iglesia.
In the church and out of the church. We need to be bold and say, I follow Jesus. I follow Jesus. And He is risen and He is coming again. And I'm living a life that is obedient to His teaching. And I'm telling others because He wants everybody, as many who would believe in Him, to be saved. So that's why I keep inviting you to come to church. Yeah. So to be ready, brothers, be ready to proclaim His name at all times, inside and outside the church.
Estar listo, hermano, de proclamar el nombre de Jesús adentro y afuera. Así es como estamos listos nosotros. Cuando venga la segunda vez,
He's coming the second time, we got to be doing it. We got to be doing it.
Point number two, punto dos.
What did the Messiah expect from the people in the city? Now we know that, we're going to see that, brothers, because as soon as Jesus reaches the city, certain things start to happen. And it was just as Jesus expected them, okay? And these are principles also that apply to us, okay?
Vamos a ver, la pregunta aquí que resalta, hermanos, es, ¿qué esperaba el Mesías, Jesús, de la gente de su ciudad? Cuando él entró a la ciudad, ¿qué esperaba él mirar? ¿Qué esperaba él recibir de su pueblo?
Nosotros también, ahí es donde podemos aplicarlo nosotros. ¿Qué espera de nosotros?
And we can ask the question, what does he expect from his people today? You and I. Maybe even today. Okay?
First of all, number one, Jesus, letter A, Jesus expected to find prayer to rise up from a holy temple. Because that's where he went straight to the temple. He went straight to the temple and he began to look around.
Miramos aquí, hermanos, que Jesús esperaba que
que la oración, hallar oración en su templo, que se elevara desde un templo santo. Por eso él entró a la ciudad y se fue directamente al templo. And when he got there, brother, he didn't find what he was looking for. We're going to read that. Cuando él vino al templo, no halló lo que él estaba buscando. Verse 12 and 13. Vamos a ver el versículo 12 y el 13. It says, and Jesus entered the temple and drove out all those who were buying and selling in the temple. They were buying and selling in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a robber's den. Okay? You're making it a robber's den. I'll explain in a minute. It says, y entró Jesús en el templo y echó fuera todos los que compraban y vendían en el templo y volcó las mesas de los cambistas y los asientos de los que vendían las palomas y les dijo, escrito está, mi casa será llamada casa de oración, pero vosotros la estáis haciendo en cueva de ladrones. So instead of finding people there huddled, praying, lifting up holy hands to the Lord, worshiping in the temple, he didn't find that. Jesús que entró al templo y esperaba hallar en el templo gente allí orando, hablando con las manos alzadas, ¿verdad? Alabando a Dios en el templo. Pero no halló nada de eso, hermanos. Halló comercial en el templo. He found nothing but people selling things, okay? And what were they selling those things? Well, they couldn't. They had a rule. You can't use your sacrificial animals that you brought. You got to use ours because ours are approved, okay, by the priest, okay, and holy, okay. So they would deny, and so they would have to buy their animals to offer sacrifice to God, and then they wouldn't accept their money. Oh, you're using Roman money? No. You got to use temple money. You got to change, make an exchange. And then they would gouge them, okay, and charge them extra for the animals, extra for the money. And so people weren't they were angry, upset. Rather than coming to pray, they were, man, I just been ripped off. Can you worship God when somebody just ripped you off? No. Lo que estaban haciendo ahí, hermanos, es que la gente venía a adorar a Dios, traían sus propios animales, sus ovejitas, sus palomitas, todo para ofrecerlos, entregarlos a los sacerdotes para que sean sacrificados y después puedan comer también. Pero ahí les decían, no, tus animales no sirven. Aquí tenemos nosotros palomas aceptables para sacrificio. Tienen que comprar estas. Ah, pero no vamos a recibir tu dinero que es de los gentiles. Tienes que cambiarlo con el dinero del templo. ¿Eh? Y ahí les cobraban por el cambio, les cobraban por los animales. Y la gente, pues ya que los habían robado, pues ya no podían adorar, ya no podían a andar en oración hacia Dios. ¿Eh? ¿Quién puede andar alabando a Dios después de que alguien lo roba? Y Jesús, pues enojado. Jesus was angry. And naturally, right? And so he started to cleanse the temple. Prayer can't happen until I clean this place out. No puede la gente orar hasta que yo no limpie este templo. And he kicked them all out. Yeah? Lo echó fuera todos. Para que la gente pueda orar. So that the people could pray. And focus on God rather than the fact that they were ripped off. Yeah. Now, understand, brothers, what that mean for us today. ¿Qué quiere decir eso para nosotros? The New Testament teaches that every believer that accepts Jesus as Lord and Savior becomes in that moment a temple of the Holy Spirit. Yes, the Holy Spirit that God gave on that day in Pentecost also comes into every believer who receives Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. The Holy Spirit comes in, and now you're the temple. That's why there's no Jerusalem temple anymore, because now the Holy Spirit is in the believer, is living in the believer through the Holy Spirit. Dice en el Nuevo Testamento, hermanos, que cada persona que recibe a Jesús como Señor y Salvador, dice que ahora viene el Espíritu Santo y viene a morar en cada creyente que sigue a Jesús, y nosotros nos somos un templo del Espíritu Santo. Now, there are times, brothers, just like back then, that we can clog up this temple with crud, okay? with bad thoughts, with the worries of the world, with sins, brothers. And this temple needs to be cleaned out by the Lord. Yeah. So that we can have a renewed relationship of communication with the Lord and obedience in our life. So there's times when we need to clean out this temple by confession to God, by confession and repentance. That's something, brothers, that every believer should be diligent to do every day. Every day. Una de las cosas que tenemos que entender, que así como en el templo de Jerusalén estaba lleno de comercio, de cosas que no pertenecían ahí, también en el templo del cristiano, que es nuestra vida, hermanos, hay veces que lo llenamos de cosas que en nuestra vida, de los pensamientos en el corazón, que no le agrada a Dios. Y también tenemos que limpiar este templo. Porque ya no podemos, ya no estamos gozándonos en la presencia del Señor, ya no estamos orando como antes, ya no hay esa comunicación, hermanos, y solo la confesándonos delante de Dios y arrepintiéndonos, saca y limpia nuestra vida, nuestro corazón, para que podamos renovar esa relación, esa comunicación con Dios. Para eso Dios llenó este templo, para que en este templo haya adoración también. So God gave us the Holy Spirit, filled this temple so that this can become a house of prayer to God, a communication to the Lord, no matter where you're at. So let's make sure today, brothers, as we move through our service, that if there's anything that you know needs to be cleaned out, let Jesus take it out. But you got to confess it. Jesus, this is what's happening in my life. Please remove it. Jesus will take it out. He'll take it out. Mientras vamos en este servicio, si usted reconoce algo en su vida que no le agrada a Dios, Jesús quiere sacar esas cosas también en nuestra vida. Y dígale: ay, Señor, ¿me acuerdas de algo, de esta cosa que está en mi vida? Por favor, Jesús, mi Señor, quítamelo. Y Jesús te lo va a limpiar y te lo va a sacar. Yeah. It's happening spiritually today, brothers, in every believer. Eso ocurre también espiritualmente en cada creyente. Also, Jesus expected people to come to Him as to be healed. Okay? Not only did He want to find prayer when He comes, He wanted to find people who believe in Him so much that they would come to Him first for healing. Yeah? Dice aquí que Jesús también esperaba que la gente acudiera y que venga a Él para ser sanados. Yeah? And where were they, brothers? They were in the temple. They were in the temple when this happened. Y él estaba en el templo cuando vinieron. Look at verse 14. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Okay? He wanted to do that. That was part of the signs of him being the Messiah, that he would heal the blind and the lame. Dice, y él entró en el templo, y acercándose a él, los ciegos y los cojos, y los sanó. Pero ¿dónde estaban? Estaban en el templo. A lot of people wanted God to heal them. Hay muchos que quieren Dios que los sane. But they don't want to have to be bothered to going to church. They don't have to be bothered with going to church. Brothers, how do you think how hard it was for the blind and the lame to make their way all the way to the temple? It was tough. Okay? It was tough because they knew Jesus was there. Okay? Y así también, hermano, hay muchos que quieren ser sanados, pero no quieren batallar con la carga de ir a la iglesia. No quieren que aquí ve y me sane. Pero allí, hermano, los cojos y los ciegos, ¿no cree que era duro para ellos hacer el camino a pata, a llegar allá al templo, porque allí estaba Jesús? I know Jesus, the Lord is everywhere, right? Sabemos que el Señor está por donde quiera. But is the movement of the Holy Spirit happens in a special way, brothers, when the saints gather together and minister to one another and share this and use their spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit is moving in the praises of His people as well. And so sometimes we don't get the Lord a chance to heal us. And there's different kind of healings that people need. Not just being blind or not being able to walk. This guy couldn't walk, but now he's walking. Yeah? Hay muchas maneras en que Dios puede y quiere sanar a su pueblo. Muchas, no solo porque estén ciegos o no puedan caminar. Miramos que el hermano no podía ni caminar, pero ahora ya está caminando, ¿verdad? So, let's talk about some of those areas, brothers. It says here, perhaps you have broken relationships. Those the Lord can heal. Did you know that? Broken relationships. Hay muchas personas, cristianos incluidos, que tienen relaciones quebrantadas. Yeah? What's a broken relationship? It means either you're fighting or you're distanced from the person you used to be close to. You used to be close to them. And now the Lord says, but I can heal that. But I need to start with you, is what he usually says. Yeah? I need to start with you. And I want you to forgive. I want you to, because I forgave you. Hay muchas maneras que Dios, en las relaciones quebrantadas, por ejemplo, Dios quiere sanarlas. Pero Él dice, nos dice a nosotros, yo quiero empezar contigo, sanar esa relación, pero empiezo contigo. Y quiero que tú perdones, así como yo te he perdonado a ti. Ahí es donde voy a empezar. That's where I'm going to start. It might be your character. You're pushing people away. And you want to blame them. But it's you. Jesus can heal that and change your... El carácter, Dios lo puede cambiar también. Si tienes un carácter que está empujando a la gente más lejana de ti, el Señor puede cambiarte. Y tú le dices, no, son ellos. No, eres tú. Yo te puedo sanar. You have a broken heart, perhaps, a disappointment. God can heal that. ¿Tienes un corazón quebrantado? ¿Un fracaso en tu vida? Dios te puede sanar también. Te puede sanar. So, but we need to come to Him. He's expecting His people to come to Him first. Lo que miramos aquí, que Dios, Jesús está esperando. Cuando Él viene, Él venga, cuando está acercando, que vengamos a Él primero para ser sanado. Vengamos a Él primero. And then He will start the healing. Y ahí es donde va a empezar el camino a la sanidad. After the service, brothers, maybe you need to call on the Lord and say, Lord, I need healing. Después de este servicio, terminado el servicio en la oración, usted dígale al Señor, yo necesito sanidad en esta área de mi vida. Y Él va a empezar a sanar. Va a empezar a sanar. Last thing that we see, point C. Jesus expected to receive worship from those prepared by God. He received it on His way down, okay, from the Mount of Olives. But when He got to the temple, He expected in the temple to receive worship from those prepared by God. And guess where we're at? We're in a sort of a temple now, okay? Y Jesús esperaba también, cuando entró al templo, esperaba recibir adoración de aquellos preparados por Dios. Preparados por Dios. And the word prepared by God is key here. We're going to see that in the text. Y vamos a ver que esa palabra preparados por Dios es clave porque lo vamos a ver en el texto. Let's look at verse 15 through 17. Mirando el versículo 15 al 17. It says here. Now it says, but when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he had done. Now he healed the blind and the lame, okay? And the children who were, it says here, shouting in the temple. Now these are the worshipers. Hosanna to the Son of David. They became indignant. That means they were angry and said to him, to Jesus, do you hear what these children are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes. Have you never read in the Bible, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise for yourself. And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany and spent the night there. Okay, prepared. You have prepared praise for yourself. That's the key. Okay. Dice aquí, pero cuando los principales sacerdotes y los escribas vieron las maravillas que había hecho Jesús, ¿se acuerdan? Sanó los cojos y sanó los ciegos. Y a los muchachos, estaban viendo a los muchachos, los fariseos, que gritaban en el templo y que decían, Hosanna al Hijo de David. Se indignaron, se enojaron en otras palabras y le dijeron, ¿oyes lo que estos dicen? Creían ellos que estaban blasfemando porque estaban diciendo estas palabras, ¿verdad? Y Jesús les respondió, si nunca habéis leído de la boca de los pequeños y de los niños de pecho, te has preparado alabanza. Ahí está. Dios ha preparado alabanza. Y dejándolo salió fuera de la ciudad a Betania y se hospedó allí. That's the last passage, brothers. Now, some things stand out, brothers, aquí. That we need to observe. Very important. The issue of Jesus was looking for people who were prepared to worship Him. Okay. Jesús estaba claramente aquí buscando a un pueblo preparados por Dios para adorarlo, reconocer su nombre y su fama, hermanos, y declararlo. Number one, brothers, it says here, the prepared show up in the temple. We need to understand that. I'm prepared. Are you here? Yes. Then you're prepared, okay? Si tú estás aquí en el templo hoy, estás preparado, ¿eh? Porque los preparados se presentan en el templo. That's what they were. Number two, the prepared lift up the name and the fame of Jesus Christ. They were shouting Hosanna to the King of, to the Son of David. Los preparados exaltan el nombre y la fama de Jesucristo. Hosanna al Hijo de David. Hosanna al Hijo de David. Gritándolo, hermanos, estaban diciendo. Number three, the prepared are not hindered by the protest of others, by Pharisees or high priests. They're not hindered by that. They don't care. Y también miramos que los preparados no se dejan intimidar por las protestas de otros, sean fariseos, sean sacerdotes. No les importa porque solo importa alabar el nombre de Jesús. They were bold, brothers, because they were prepared. Estaban ellos, tenían audacia porque estaban preparados. And sometimes, brothers, believers aren't that bold. We're kind of a little timid when it comes to standing out as a Christian. We need to make sure, brothers, that we are bold. That we are bold. Tenemos que ser audaz en este mundo oscuro, hermanos, y no ser tímidos. Muchas veces no vemos, como que nos da un poco de vergüenza confesarnos como cristianos. Ah, eres un aleluya. Sí, claro que sí. Soy un aleluya. I'm a hallelujah, that would say in Spanish, you know. That was a term of what's the word? To make fun of Christians, they call them hallelujahs. But we need to claim it and say, yeah. Yeah, that's who I am. I say hallelujah to the Lord. Hallelujah to the Lord. Number four, the prepared bring blessing to the heart of Jesus. Y el cuarto, los preparados traen bendición al corazón de Jesús. Can you imagine Jesus? He knows that week, at the end of that week, he's going to die. Those same guys that are trying to silence the children from worshiping him, they're going to have him killed. Imagínense, Jesús sabe que para el fin de esta semana, Él sabe que esos que están queriendo silenciar a los niños de alabar a Jesús, esos mismos personas lo van a matar, lo van a entregar. But for that moment, brothers, he was those that were saying Hosanna to the Son that outnumbered the Pharisees, his enemies, and the praises were reaching, were comforting him that he was on the right path of his father. Of it that the Father had given him. He was following the map to the resurrection. Imagínense que en ese momento que miraba a los niños alabando su nombre, que eran mucho, mucho más que los fariseos y los sacerdotes que estaban enojados, mucho más que ellos, y que ellos estaban alabándolo, hermanos, que estaba llegando a su corazón y dándole ánimo a él, Ánimo que él estaba en el camino, siguiendo el mapa que Dios, su Padre, le había dado hacia la resurrección. And when we do it, brothers, when we just stop wherever we're at, and we just begin to thank you for saving, thank you for loving me, thank you for going, for forgiving my sins because you went to the cross, that blesses the heart of the Lord. Y así también hoy, hermanos, cuando nosotros nos paramos donde quiera que seamos y empecemos a alabar a Jesús y decirle gracias, Señor, te alabo, te doy gracias porque me has perdonado, me has recibido y me has dado vida eterna. Gracias que tú lo sufriste todo por mí, Señor. En ese momento, esa alabanza está dándole al corazón de Jesús una gran bendición. Brothers, yeah. Whether we're in the church or whether we're outside the church, worship should be like breathing to the believer. No importa si estás en la iglesia o estás afuera de la iglesia, la adoración es para el creyente como respirar, hermanos, como respirar, porque siempre estamos en su presencia y su espíritu nos infunde nuestra alma. So the principle, brothers, what's the principle that is standing out here? Every believer is being prepared right now, brothers, by God to lift up the name and the fame of Jesus. Every believer is being prepared. Just as he prepared those children for that day to worship him in the temple, he's preparing you and I to bring continual eternal praise to him by the things he's working in our life every day and molding us and revealing himself to us. Así, hermano, la aplicación es que Dios está preparando a cada creyente, a usted y a mí mismo, para exaltar el nombre y la fama de Jesucristo. Estar preparando. Todo lo que tú pasas en tu vida, las tribulaciones, las pruebas, el estudio de la palabra, las alabanzas, todo está preparándote a ti, moldándote para que tú y yo traigamos a Jesús eterna alabanza y gratitud, hermanos. Te está preparando. Last verse, Ephesians 1, 11 and 12, I'll read that to you. Dice aquí en Efesios 1:11, also we have obtained an inheritance having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will. All things in your life. He's working it according to the counsel of His will. To what end? What purpose? That we who were first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of His glory. That your life, your actions, everything about you would bring praise and glory to Jesus.
Dice aquí Efesios 1:11, dice, también hemos obtenido herencia habiendo sido predestinados según el propósito de aquel que obra todas las cosas conforme al consejo de su voluntad. ¿Para qué propósito? A fin de que nosotros que fuimos los primeros de esperar en Cristo seamos para alabanza de su gloria. Seamos para alabanza de su gloria. Todo lo que Jesús va a obrar en tu vida le traiga alabanza eterna.
Yeah. He's not wasting the difficulties that you are encountering in your life, but are to mold you so that you realize what God did, that you would give glory and praise to Him.
No gasta nada. Ningún sufrimiento el Señor. Todo lo va a usar para su gloria.
So, with that, brothers, let's all stand. Con eso vamos a ponernos de pie.
If you need healing, tell Jesus, Lord, I need healing.
Si tú necesitas sanidad, dile al Señor, yo necesito sanidad, Señor.
Hay algo en mi vida que tú tienes que sanar.
There's something in my life that I'm asking you to heal.
And the Lord will begin to heal.
If you need cleansing of your temple, ask Jesus to remove it.
Si necesitas que una limpieza de tu templo, tu alma, pídele a Jesús y Él te lo va a limpiar. Él te lo va a limpiar.
Let's go before Him. Father, thank you so much for your son.
Gracias, Señor. Gracias por tu hijo.
We want to be ready, Lord, always prepared to receive the Son of God.
I know we know He's coming again, but help us to be prepared, to cooperate with you,
to yield to you, to your will and to your word,
and that you would work through us, Lord, to bring blessing to others.
Others who need salvation, who need guidance, who are on the wrong path.
Gracias, Señor, que Padre Santo, que nos has dado tu Hijo. Y pedimos que nos ayude a estar preparados en toda manera, en toda clase, para su segunda venida que se aproxima. Ayúdanos, Señor, saber que tú eres Señor y Salvador en nuestra vida.
Pedimos también, Señor, que nos limpies.
We ask also that you cleanse us.
We ask also, Lord, that you heal us.
Y pedimos que nos sanes también.
But thank you, Lord, that we find ourselves today in your temple. And today we want to praise the name and the fame of Jesus.
Y gracias, Señor, que hoy nos encontramos en tu templo, Señor. Y queremos en este momento, Señor, exaltar el nombre y la fama.
We pray this in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus.
God's people said, Amen.